Apologize up front because I've given this presentation. This will be the fourth time, and it changes a little bit depending on the target audience. So hopefully my slides and Joan's going to help me go through them. Hopefully I've got them all lined up, but if I get a little out of whack, I'm sorry. So, okay. So, the CCC stood up a subcommittee just over a year ago to establish a baseline for the actions developed by all eight councils. That subcommittee composed of one expert from all of the eight councils. I would note that Ms. Bulkey is no longer with us, so Ms. Bachman has aptly taken over for Ms. Bulkey in that role, and we also had three federal partners who are listed here. Next slide, please. The original terms of reference were to assist the CCC in reacting to 30 by 30, to prepare a report, discuss pros and cons, objectives, and at the end prepare a journal article on the topic. Next slide, please. We've met a lot. That's the short version of this slide, and we've actually met once since the CCC meeting. There's another meeting tomorrow, and there's another meeting next week, so we're continuing our work to get to a final report to the CCC in October. Next slide, please. So what's in the report? Basically, the table of contents. Items 1 through 8A are included in the report itself, and item 8B is the detailed justification and qualifying metrics for each and every one of the 600-plus areas in the Atlas. And you should pay particular attention to sections 2 and 3. Those are groundbreaking and innovative in nature, and the team really went outside the box in developing this criteria. Next slide, please. Intro, the council process you all know, the purpose of the report, as mentioned before. We also compared the 10 national standards of the MSA with the 8 key principles for conserving and restoring U.S. lands and waters as outlined in the America the Beautiful effort. And the team found that these two presented very similar goals of science-based decisions, strong collaboration, and measures that support both job creation and communities. And just to note that the same cannot be said about some MPAs and monuments. Next slide, please. So at the outset, no definition of a conservation area, no real guidance existed for us. So our first challenge was to develop the definition on which to focus our work. That definition is an established geographical area defined with plan management or regulation of environmentally adverse fishing activities that provides for the maintenance of biological productivity and biodiversity, ecosystem function and services, including providing recreational opportunities and healthy sustainable seafood to a diverse range of consumers. That definition, of course, is very specific to fisheries because that's what we do, but if you take out the references to fishing, it could easily be turned into a more universally used description of what a conservation area is. Next slide, please. Okay. Once we developed the definition of a conservation area, the first important action was to develop the criteria to examine the existing actions and areas under MSA. We also used the Executive Order 14008, well, that's the America the Beautiful, and incorporated other effective area-based conservation measures, which is OECMs, and that's defined by the IUCN. We then included steps specific to the America the Beautiful principles, and if an area met all four steps, then it qualified to move forward. Next slide, please. So this is the staircase we used. Step 1, does it meet our working definition? 2, is it managed and by what entity? What is the objective? And those are either A, ecosystem conservation, B, year-round, and or C, other management or seasonal measures. And does it align with the 8 America the Beautiful principles? And if so, which ones? And the color coding follows all the way through the atlas and the appendices, so it's a little bit easier to reference what is what. Next slide, please. In addition to the four steps, in order to fully analyze each area for inclusion in the Atlas, the subcommittee also developed an evaluation process for candidate areas using two separate tools. The tools are also designed to be used by people and groups that will ultimately be responsible for identifying areas for inclusion in the Atlas. So that's that. Next slide, please. Okay. The process. So these are the templates we developed for the evaluation of each and every area. On the left, table 3, the worksheet, which we use to solidify the rationale, and on the right, table 4, which is the test relative to the America the Beautiful principles. In all, they represent at least 16 different decision points for each area. Next slide. After applying the criteria on the last two slides, here is what made the cut. In yellow, ecosystem conservation, 491 areas. In blue, year-round fisheries management, 75 areas. And seasonal and other measures, which was 49. That's 615 areas so far. Next slide. So what's the number? Everybody wants to know what the number is. So pending finalizing the draft and getting GIS support in order to account for accurately account for overlap and dissolving areas, the total percentage of the EEZ under MSA jurisdiction that is already a qualifying conservation area using our extensive evaluation process is greater than 54%. Next slide. Thank you. This is table 6. It shows year-round coverage by gear types, all bottom tending gears, bottom and trawl gear exclusively, or other gears. And regional coverage as well. Next slide, please. This is the same calculation, but it's for a different category of seasonal coverage or others that might be close to a specific fishery or for a particular species for a period of time. Next slide, please. The remaining sections of the report. The balance of the report not included in Appendix A, that's what this is. The pros and cons are on page 26, and the summary is on page 27. The cons are basically that the biggest long-term threats to marine biodiversity are climate change and other factors beyond the authority of MSA. However, the pros are that the councils have tremendously diverse range of effective and innovative management tools in addition to area-based management. Next slide, please. So here it is. A picture is worth 1,000 words, or it's actually worth just over 1,000 pages. That's what it looks like. So I just figured that'd be a nice little thing for you to have. So this is an example of the detailed criteria we use to evaluate each and every one of the 615 candidates. And they're pretty detailed, but you can see the discussion in the appendices, including in the far right column, is where they mesh with America the Beautiful itself. Next slide, please. Maps, I like maps. It's a lot easier to figure out what's going on. But here's six of the regions, and you can go to the next slide. And here's the rest of the EEZ, so everybody can see what everybody else is doing. That's okay. Go ahead. You keep going. You're doing fine. Next steps for the subcommittee are to complete the regional maps and area calculations for their final report at our CC fall 2022 meeting. We expect to continue to coordinate with our NOAA and federal partners as needed. And of course, the subcommittee was set up to support the CCC on any position statements that they may have. And then lastly, in order to effectively inform entities other than the CCC, such as Congress, USDA, USDC, DOI, CEQ, and others, we feel it is critically important to prepare a journal article on the use of area-based management through MSA for U.S. fisheries management and conservation. Next slide, please. So, in summary, while the focus of this report is conservation areas developed by the councils, the most effective means to address conservation challenges today and in the future is continued development of effective fisheries management measures through the MSA and the Council NOAA Fisheries Collaborative Process. The Council process is in clear alignment with America the Beautiful. In fact, through this process of reviewing evaluation criteria, the subcommittee discovered that some types of conservation areas, such as national monuments and other MPAs, appear to be less consistent with America the Beautiful principles when compared to areas developed by the councils. The Council employs a highly engaging and regionalized process during the development of management measures. including conservation areas and their boundaries. The council uses best available science and can adapt those boundaries to meet emerging conservation challenges. The councils are also equipped to make decisions with respect to trade-offs that occur around fishing access and enhanced opportunities for fishing communities, the public, and benefits to the nation. And that's the speed version of my report. I'm more than happy to take questions from anyone on what we did and how we got to where we are today. So any questions from the council? Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the estimation of greater than 54% of the areas being closed in the EEZ, was there an assessment of the proposed wind turbines and what that would encompass or what percentage would be there? Is that within that number, or does that have to be looked at to see how much that would be in addition to that number?
Okay, thank you for the question. No, the councils do not manage wind. So what our task was to accumulate the data of what has been done by the eight councils already. It is my understanding that when NOAA does their atlas, there will be some recognition of the unknown of what wind areas will do, but they are not included in this report. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for the report and for the work of the CCC on this. I think it's a lot of information to try to take in here. I'm trying to sort of wrap my head around the information on slides 7 and 8. And so 7 talked about the identification of the areas, whether they're for ecosystem conservation year-round or seasonal. And then slide 8 talked a little bit about how they align with America, the Beautiful Principles. And I guess that's the piece I'm just a little more interested in learning a little bit more about. So the determinations on the atlas that you guys did, that was based on the judgment of the members of the steering committee and the CCC. And I'm just curious if there has been interaction with folks from NOAA about whether the criteria and the evaluations that you all did do align with the ATB principles, and whether, you know, is the CCC seeing things the same way as NOAA is and the folks who had set the original 30 by 30 goal? Do you feel like you're in good alignment there, or have you gotten any feedback from them on that?
Well, there were three members from NOAA staff that helped develop the evaluation criteria in the first place. And if you look at the appendices, the summary tables, you can see where which America the Beautiful principles align with which particular area. Every area's got their own, you know, we went through every one, all 615. As far as the criteria themselves, we spent the first couple of months developing criteria that could be used by all eight councils. And that was with the help of course, with the team members, all eight, and our federal partners. So I would have to say we are reasonably in alignment in setting up this baseline data.
And just a quick follow-up. I was particularly interested about the view on seasonal closed areas versus year-round ones, and that was one that was discussed and included after consideration of seasonal versus year-round management areas.
Yeah, I mean, we went through every area that was put under regulation under Magnuson. Seasonal closures were identified by us, but they may or may not make the final cut, but we had to identify them. And it's just another set of areas, but that's why they have their own special place in the document. Let's put it to you that way. How's that? Anybody else from the council? From the public? Dr. Fuller.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman and council members. It looks like the analysis for New England includes the Midwater trawl buffer that the court has now vacated and that NOAA has announced that it's not appealing. Do you happen to know what the impact of removing that buffer is in terms of percentage of area in New England that will be protected under this paradigm?
I couldn't give you the exact number, Doctor. We did have an extensive discussion about that particular area. You know, we had to prepare the report for the CCC in May, and it was uncertain of the fate of that particular action. So now that we have a pretty good idea what the fate is, we're going to have to do some recalculating there, but I couldn't give you the exact number.
Thank you. So because I did look through Appendix B for some kind of table that listed, you know, by management measure, what the percentage would be, and I couldn't find one. Is that because there isn't one, or did I just miss that?
Well, if you look at the summary tables, there is a column that indicates size in nautical miles square. It is not a percentage, it's just by area. And those are all clearly identified in the appendices.
Thank you. Yeah, I did see that. But to reach that 69%, how did that occur?
Well, I only got the 54, Doctor, but I appreciate you giving me another 15 points. Well, we base the number of 54% on ecosystem conservation. That's basically year-round. So we're fairly confident that those areas should be included. Year-round closures by fishing gear type have been identified and also calculated under their own separate column. It's basically up to us to inform the CCC of what has been done and justify those actions to people outside the CC that I referenced as well. That's where the journal article will come in. But during the final report, I'm sure there'll be some discussion about that. But the 54% came from the ecosystem conservation benefits.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Anybody else from the public? Back to the council? Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you, Joan. Hopefully I kept up with the right slides. And the CCC does meet in the fall, and that final report will be available then. And we are already working on preparing a journal article so we can use it for outside entities. So thank you very much. Next up, we have Dr. Saba. Are you with us, Doctor?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay, and my Wi-Fi connection's